my clients were asking me like, okay, what's next? What's next? What's next? And I'm like, you know what? We've had this exposure. Now, how can we harness this and how can we leverage this? Mm-hmm. So what I've developed is I call my clients celebrity brands. So they're out there, they're getting PR, they're gaining that celebrity and that authority. And on the back end, what we do is actually a three-phase process where we first build a foundation online. So it includes, you know, if you were to fully build this out, let's say, and fully go all in, it would include a celebrity search marketing campaign on AdWords. It would include a remarketing or retargeting campaign, which essentially means you get a second chance to show someone an ad when they come to your site. Yep. And then there would be a strong call to action or further education on their site.
Welcome to the Marketing Your Practice podcast. We're leading a healthcare revolution by showing natural health and fitness experts how to become community influencers so they can build profitable, predictable, and enjoyable practices. Each week, we share simple, easily actionable expert branding and heart-centered marketing strategies so you can flood your practice with high-quality patients, building a healthier and happier community. And now your hosts, Angus Pike and Tony Rose.
Well, I'd like to start with a huge, big welcome to the Marketing Your Practice podcast. Kristen, how are you this morning? Well, it's this afternoon for you. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Angus. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I'm damn excited. So you and I kind of came together from a mutual friend, Brandon Lucero, and we've been kind of, it's funny how we can communicate with people on the other side of the world, and we've managed to kind of pull this off really quite quickly here too. So I want to start with this because I'm excited to have a chat with you all about PR. We, on this podcast, we've talked lots about marketing and sales and all those kind of things, but we haven't really talked about PR. So first of all, a background story. So what is it, you know, your education, your training, what is it that kind of led you to this point now where you're helping people get on famous television shows and the likes?
Yeah, sure. So I have a background in doing publicity and really large scale publicity. So in fact, the majority of my clients were doctors and I would book them on shows like Anderson Cooper and Barbara Walters, the Dr. Oz show, Steve Harvey, like major mega media giants. And I think what was the most fun for me was actually taking these doctors and these brands from relatively unknown to very massive exposure and very known. And we were able to do it time and time again. And in fact, you know, it's one of the things that I want to share as we continue this conversation today. But the power of PR to get that type of large-scale exposure is huge. I mean, if you, I don't know comparatively what you guys have there, but you know, we have shows like Good Morning America that maybe you've heard of, or the Today Show, or newspapers like the New York Times, which is distributed around the world. And I was able to get my clients coverage on major outlets just like that, time and time again.
I'm excited to kind of learn more because the background of me, I mean, I've always thought that you needed to be famous first before they will ever want to kind of talk with you. And certainly even here from Australia, I mean, we've got listeners from around the globe. You know, those shows like Dr. Oz and Good Morning America and the New York Times, I mean, they're all global brands. They're not just kind of US-based brands as well. So tell me, what's the difference between PR and marketing? So, you know, for those that might not be aware of kind of public relations or publicity, what is that? Is it just marketing?
Yeah, that's a great question. So PR is actually getting featured in a third party that has credibility. It's actually the spreading of information, again, by that third party. So it would be being featured on a TV show like that. It would be maybe being interviewed in a newspaper, as opposed to the commercials you see in between the shows, or like an advertisement or an advertorial. That's advertising. PR, advertising, marketing, I think it all can fit under the marketing umbrella. It's a strategy. It's a tool that you can use to enhance your marketing. And it's something that, again, can really add fuel to the fire in terms of getting your message out on a large scale. And I'm sure, I know you've mentioned that a lot of like chiropractors and naturopaths and other healthcare practitioners listen to your show. I'm sure all of them have something very specific that they do that really helps people, like something that they're really good at. And, you know, you brought up a great point. One thing that I hear a lot is like, you know, I don't have experience on TV, or I haven't written a book, or I don't have a product. I still think you have a message to share and, you know, something to get out to the press that's valuable to the audience that the media serves. Very similar to how you serve an audience. You have a, you know, you have a media outlet. Traditional press operates in much of the same way.
Mm. And so the kind of shows that you're talking about, would I be right in assuming that none of this is kind of a paid sharing of the message? So it would come under that umbrella of kind of like an organic way of going through it. Yeah. Or can PR sometimes be paid? Can you pay to get on shows like the Dr. Oz show, or is that not how they work?
That's a great question. So typically PR is free, and it's one of the best, fastest vehicles that's organic, like you mentioned, and free to get your name out there. Media shows like Dr. Oz, they're actually looking for stories. So they're looking for people to feature. They're looking for interesting news to give to their audience. Now, yes, you can pay to be on that show in certain circumstances, but they make it very clear when, if you do pay, that like you're a sponsor or, I'm trying to think if you've seen perhaps like some daytime television shows here, you might, for instance, Ellen at the end, she says, you know, thank you to our sponsor. And they bring out a giant check. You know, you're going home with $25,000 today. That's a paid sponsorship. But if you were actually on the show being interviewed about, let's say, how you, you know, were able to help, let's say, a number of children with, let's say, cleft lip surgical procedures, and you were on the show talking about that with the kids, you'd actually be part of the show, and that's free. They don't charge you to be on the show. So it's really one of the greatest ways to get free exposure.
Yeah, I get so excited about this, Kristen, because not only is it free, but it's, you know, you've got a third party that's edifying and endorsing you, and you're reaching mass amounts of people. So can we go through an example? Because you work with people. So from the moment that somebody comes to you and says, hey, listen, I want to take my message wide. I want to reach a larger audience. What are the process that you go through? Or, you know, and again, so our audience that are listening to this as well, if they're wanting to start to reach, and maybe Dr. Oz isn't their first port of call, but maybe it's their local newspaper or the radio station or those kind of things there too, how do they begin that journey by, you know, how do you reach out to those kind of platforms?
Yeah, that's a great question. And a lot of times what I hear, again, goes back to, I don't have experience, I don't know what I'm doing. But you can actually get on your local TV show, a radio show, a podcast, a newspaper without experience. So the first thing I would have you do, and actually maybe I should back up a step, because there's actually three principles that you really need to grasp that make up any good media story. So these are things where you can continue to come up with timely hooks that the media are interested in. You can get booked again and again, and you can basically, you can kind of keep thinking of new ideas that the media will be interested in. So there's really three things to keep in mind. And I call it the GIT, GIT principles.
Got it.
The first G, the first G is geography. So if you were just starting out, I would say to think about where you live. What media would cover where you live? Now, if you're a doctor, you know, you would probably want to start in, let's say, your local newspaper and to see if there's a health section. If you are, you know, for instance, you have an agency, a business, you might want to start in the business section. And very similar, and then you want to just look across all mediums. So usually it's things like TV, radio, magazines, daily print newspapers. There's a lot of different segments. The second thing is I, for GI, is import. So how important is your story? What type of impact is it going to make? You have to remember that the media's objective is to serve their audience. So they should be in the position of providing relevant and helpful news to their audience. So you need to kind of reverse engineer and think about how your message and what you do fits into what could be important to their audience. And I'll give you an example. Let's say you were calling your local newspaper and you're a doctor and New Year's is coming up. You know, you might have the three best tips to stay healthy all year long, because so many people make resolutions. Now, that's something that could be important to the public at large. And it also leads into something, into the last letter, which is T, which is timely.
Yeah.
About to come up. So it's something everyone is thinking of. I wouldn't use a hook, let's say, of, you know, three tips to get into a bikini. Although maybe in Australia I would, because it's summer yes. there for you.
Geez, definitely.
But here where it's winter, you know, you wouldn't use that same type of hook. So again, it's G for geography. Where do you live? There's certain media that cover certain geographies. I is for the import of the story. How important is it to the people who are going to be receiving your message? And T is for timely. Is it about to happen? Did it already happen? Is it happening right now? Those are all three elements to consider when you're actually like going out and getting a booking.
So Kristen, could this be an example? Like, so as a chiropractor, one of the things that kind of happens, because we're going into our summer here, so it's our long break also. So lots of people are going for really long drives and they're traveling a long way. And so as a chiropractor, could I reach out to my local newspapers or television and say, look, you know, how to survive the long drive, you know, three healthy back tips for, you know, getting to your holiday destination without a cranky back. Is that the kind of thing, you know, that would bring in a bit of relevance, the timing, you know, my skill set in terms of a chiropractor and helping people with their spine? Is that the kind of thing, or is that not going to be of interest to, you know, a media outlet? How would we massage that?
Yeah, you're exactly right. That's a very perfect example of something that's timely and something that would be right up your alley if you were a chiropractor that you could talk about, and that's your expertise. So I would say what most PR people do, what most companies do, which is the wrong way to do it, is they would call, let's say, a TV station, and they would call and say, hey, you know, I work with a great doctor. He's fantastic. He fixes people's back. And they would say, so what? You should go buy an advertisement. Because how does that help them? Yes, you're a great doctor, but there's no message to the public. But if you called and said, hey, you know, 50% of people who take long drives this summer are going to end up in back pain. That's a staggering, you know, let's say 30,000 people across Australia this summer who will suffer from that. I have three tips that you can do before you get in the car, while you're in the car, and when you get to your destination that will help your viewers avoid back pain this summer.
I love it. I'm hoping our audience can.
Do you see the difference?
I can.
More, yeah.
It's. I'm thinking for those of you that are listening to the audio here, you can like feel my smile through, because story is everything. And I think whether in anything, you know, if we're buying a beautiful Tiffany's ring, there's a story that goes along with that blue box that adds value to it. You know, really, you can get the same ring for probably, you know, a half, if not a quarter of the price, but it doesn't have that story. And when you change the story of the way that I communicate, something goes from a bit dull and boring to all of a sudden, wow. So coming up with, and that's what you refer to as a hook. Would that be your example?
Yeah. And I love that you brought up the story, because that's 100% right. People love stories. We communicate through stories. That's how the media communicates. And that is exactly what a hook is. It's how can you succinctly tell the story in one sentence to grab someone's attention? And I'll give you an example. This is actually a real client of mine that I had several years ago, a very renowned plastic surgeon in Southern California, which if you've ever been there, you know, you can throw a stone and hit a plastic surgeon. So how do you get someone like that booked on Barbara Walters, on Anderson Cooper, on Dr. Oz, which in fact we did all within the course of about 2 months? He, you know, he had a patient, and this is maybe a bit of an extreme example, but he had a patient who was 83 years old who came to see him, who said, I just want to feel better about myself. I'd like to have a breast augmentation. That's a story. You know, here is a great grandmother of three who now wants a breast augmentation. And that, you know, that's the story. So now he's on Good Morning America and the Today Show with this woman talking about how, you know, women just want to feel great at any age. And, you know, he made sure that she underwent a full evaluation and a psychological evaluation and a physical. So he gets his talking points in to talk about how great of a plastic surgeon he is, the caliber of his work. But the story is that here's this woman who's a great grandmother who, you know, wants this procedure that 20-year-olds get. And so that's really the hook and the story. And you tell the story through through things like that. Typically for a doctor, it's often through the eyes of their patient. So you know, a lot of these huge media bookings that we've gotten have also had a patient story tied in or involved, because people want to see a before and after result. They want to see when someone was, let's say, sick and couldn't walk or couldn't move, and let's say someone's protocol came in and brought them back to life. Whatever the inherent story is, that's what the media wants to hear.
Yeah, brilliant. And so it's not so much, because I would imagine when we're being interviewed and we're sharing your information, it's not me then getting in there and talking all about my chiropractic practice and here's what I do and give me a call and all those kind of things. I would imagine that'd be a bit of a no-no also. Is that right?
Yes, to some extent. So you can incorporate that into what's called your talking points. So how you relay the message, if using that same plastic surgery example, when the doctor was on the show, he would say, yes, she came into me. I saw her, I did a Foley evaluation. He's talking about what he does and, how he sees people before and after, but that's not the hook of, if you saw on TV, oh, here's a plastic surgeon who did an evaluation on a patient, you'd be like, why is that news? Doctors see patients every day. But he still got to go on the show and talk about what he did. They showed his before and afters of past patients as visuals. So visuals are things you can see on TV. He still got to promote what he does and how he does it. But the focus of the interview wasn't, first I wake up and then I go into the OR and next, it doesn't get kind of like a play-by-play, but it really still reinforces his authority and like his expertise in a way that ties into the story.
Got it. So can we brainstorm another example? Would that be okay?
Sure. Yeah, let's do it.
Say that we've got a naturopath or a practitioner that's interested who might be just super focused on nutrition. And then my brain goes, okay, it's Christmas time. We're all going to overeat. So, we've also got these kind of New Year's resolutions that we're going to be wanting to kick into, which so many people are going to be kind of weight related. We want to get into some training. So if I said, okay, I'm going to come up with some ideas again, and whether it would be, something about, what if it was into the new year, if we had some research that said, look, 95% of people are going to have a New Year's resolution that's involved with losing weight. And the research shows that, and obviously I'm making these things up, but I'm sure it's similar to this too, that, 80% of them are going to be off track within the first 2 weeks. And so there's a three-step process that I teach my patients to help keep them on track. In fact, here's an example of Jenny, who we did this exact process with last year. Not only did she lose 40 pounds, but she's kept it off all year. So would that be the kind of thing that they might be interested in, or how would we massage that?
Yeah, I would say, where do I sign? If I was a TV producer, exactly what you said would resonate, because you led with the import. What's important is that, I can't remember the percentages you use, but 95% of people, let's say, make a resolution 2 weeks later, 80% of those people don't follow it. That's important to the public at large. It's timely. It's New Year's. Everyone makes weight loss resolution. And if you live in the city that you're talking to the producer, it's geographically relevant because you could go down to the studio and share those tips. Now, the other thing I would add is if you are, let's say you are pitching a television show. I mentioned a term before called visuals, which basically just means, what are we going to see? Mm-hmm. So you mentioned Jenny. If you were actually pitching this, I would say to mention, here's just like you did. Here's Jenny. She was 40 pounds overweight. She's kept it off all year. I have before and after photos, or I have video of when she was, unhappy and now she's looking great. Or Jenny could come to the studio with me and demonstrate the three workout moves I have, or demonstrate how she implements the nutrition plan with a smoothie. Because now you can see things. Let's say, one of your protocols is celery juice, which is like the big thing, right? So, Jenny could be at the studio showing you how easy it is to make celery juice. Then we could move to the next station where she shows you how she does her push-ups for the day. and that, you know, and I'm of course making this up as I'm talking.
I'm sure
your protocol is a little more advanced than 5 push-ups every day.
Well, let's give it a go and see, because you and I end up on Dr. Oz next year sharing the same thing.
Exactly.
I think we're for example purposes here, but I can kind of see that. And then I guess it's a matter of just, you know, because depending on when our listeners are listening to this, that same story could go in around, for instance, Easter here when everyone eats way too much chocolate, or in around Valentine's Day when, you know, perhaps you wanted to go out on a date with a loved one and you want to be looking fantastic. So, you know, that idea around weight loss and healthy weight loss and keeping it off, you could kind of link that at many different times. Obviously.
Another great angle is actually back to school. When all the kids go back to school, there's three healthy lunch ideas. We can bring the food. We can set up the table. Again, if it's for TV, you want to think about how it looks. If it's for a print article, you want to provide photos. If it's for, you know, if it's for radio, you want to provide probably some pretty succinct talking points about, you know, your three tips and what you would cover. So you really want to think about the medium also, you know, like for instance, this is, most likely an audio. So just to be very succinct about storytelling and talking points and delivering the information on TV, you're going to have a lot shorter time, probably 1 to 2 minutes. So, you know, how can you use the visuals to enhance what you're saying in that short time? And then I would always recommend, this is actually the number one tip I would give to all my clients before they did an interview. If you are, let's say, on a TV interview and it's going to be a short, most TV segments are probably 1 minute, and that's a long time. You want to get your message out at the top, because if you're working with traditional press, you know, Dr. Oz almost never says, so tell me like what you're here to promote. You know, he might for a celebrity or something. But if you were on his tip talk or on a show talking about, let's say, how to incorporate turmeric into your everyday life, you know, he would say, oh, what are your top three tips? And so you would want to just think about how you can get your message in at the top so that, you know, you actually do get to do a little bit of promotion, but you want to tie it into also the topic at hand without kind of totally going off the rails.
Got it. So what I'm hearing is that it makes sense in advance to really do as much of the work as it possibly can for the media platform to say, you know, we've got our intro like we talked about before, our three tips, here's some visuals, here's how the show could work. I could bring Jenny in and I could have her going through the three tips. So the more work we do for them, as is anything in life, and you're a great example of this, Kristen, because when you reached out to me, this is how wonderful, I love these things here too. You know, you gave me, here's a bunch of questions that you could ask me and here's some talking points, which is just the best guest in the world for, you know, Tony and I when we're doing these as well. We try to get these conversations, just anything that makes it kind of easier. So is that right?
That's 100% accurate. I mean, if you look at the media industry as a whole, and I'm referring to traditional media, because obviously podcasts are a media that's blowing up right now that a lot of people consume. But if we look at TV and radio and newspaper, at least in the United States, those budgets are getting slashed. Which means there's less people on staff. There's less time to cover stories that aren't hard news. So hard news are things that are like, you know, they have national, international, local implications. So, you know, for instance, a presidential election or even a car crash or, you know, things that you would read about in a newspaper. So reporters, journalists, producers, they are strapped for time. They want to work with people who bring everything to them, who are prepared, and who think about that ahead of time, because it's not that they're lazy. It's honestly just that they don't have the time. Like, it's how much easier is it for you, for instance, to show up to someone who says, here's my bio, you know, here's a couple of questions you can ask me, here's my experience, that type of thing, versus someone who just shows up and is like, I don't know, you know? And so TV and media don't have time for that, really, because they're so understaffed and things are just, the cycle of news moves so quickly that they just don't have time for it, honestly. So sometimes it can come off as rude or dismissive, especially in the TV world where news just moves so quickly now that, you know, if you don't give them everything right up front, they've already moved on.
We always come back to, and it's a favorite quote of ours, of, you know, old Zig Ziglar quote that says, if you just help enough other people get what they want in life, you'll get everything that you want. And that's what I'm starting to, and I have a much better understanding of it now than when we started this conversation, of what are our really busy media people, what do they need? You know, they need content every day. They need content that's packaged in a way that's going to be exciting for their viewers. And the more of the work that you can do for them to help make them look great, then the more likely we are to kind of get on the show. So let's switch to my next question. Like, who do I speak to? You know, I ring up the local, I said, in my case here, there's a local newspaper. Who do I want to speak to? Can we, you know, role play a little bit more about what that conversation might sound like when I'm actually speaking to that person?
Sure. I would first start by identifying, you know, start with five, just start with five local, whatever it is, TV shows, publications, newspapers, videos, maybe even podcasts. My biggest tip would be to, because we live in a day and age where everyone's online, go see if you can find the reporters that cover health. Go see if you can find the journalists who do that and follow them online. You know, retweet their tweets if you're on Twitter, or like their posts on Instagram. And then when you reach out to them, you actually know, you know, what they care about, what they're talking about, what they're producing, what they're actually putting on TV. So you just start to learn what they like. The next thing I would suggest is to just call the main number. All of those publications have a main number. Usually 9 times out of 10, it's a receptionist. So, you know, just say, hey, you know, I could really use some guidance here. Do you think you could help me? Who covers health at the newspaper? Who could I talk to? And from there, you can kind of, it kind of trickles down. Most newspapers and most news stations have what's called a news desk. So it's actually a desk where people can call and leave tips for breaking news. Again, you can usually find that number or that desk by just calling the main number for the publication, just trying to reach a receptionist and getting them to transfer you. Honestly, that's kind of how you would do it. It's a little bit of like detective work, not too much. There's media platforms out there that have like database of journalists, but if you're just starting out, I think, you know, just calling and asking is is honest. You know, it's a very underutilized tool to just say, hey, who could I talk to about this?
Got it. And then once we had that person on the phone, we would go through that same pitch, for lack of a better word, like I did beforehand. And it would be saying, you know, a little bit, hey, listen, it's Angus here from Life Chiropractic in Port Melbourne. I have a story that I think that might be of interest. You know, over this next 2 weeks, you know, tens of thousands of Australians will be traveling, many of them in the car for long periods of time. They're going to get sore, cranky backs. You know, it has potentially this amount of impact on our healthcare system. And there's three strategies that we share with our patients to help them travel safely. And I wonder if that might be useful for you. That's kind of how it would sound?
It would. I would suggest, this is actually how I would have done it, is I would have said...
Well, you're the pro.
Let's say you finally found the right person. You're like, oh, the news desk, you know, you want to talk to Bill. He handles our health. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Bill, you know, Australians are about to hit the road. Like, you want to dive right in. You don't, it's called burying the lead.
Yes.
when you skip the most important part. Now, the caveat is that, you know, I'm talking specifically about, let's say, a busy news station.
Yes.
These types of people are used to being pitched, which is what it's called, being pitched.
Yes.
It's just part and parcel with what they do every day.
Yep.
So you don't want to feel like you're bothering them, because back to a point you said, they actually need you as much as you need them. So they're looking for content. They're looking for interesting things. They're looking for... again, a way to serve their audience. So I would just dive right into it. You know, 50% of Australians are about to hit the road. And, you know, the number one thing we see is back pain. You know, there's an uptick in visits to the chiropractor and I'm actually a chiropractor, but I want to help people prevent that. I don't want people in my office. And I've got three tips to, you know, you kind of have about, it's almost like video, where you have that like 10 to 30 second window to catch their attention. And then I've had various responses from there. It's like, okay, who are you and why are you calling? Okay. Hey, yeah, I'm Angus. I'm a chiropractor. You know, then you can like talk about yourself, but I would just like jump right into the lead is what it's called. Don't bury the lead.
Got it. And then should we, because you talked about before, to start sort of geographically there as well, is there a level that I shouldn't go for? You know, would it be crazy for me to jump out to my morning television shows over here if I've had no experience? You know, do you have some thoughts with regards to that?
You know, I don't think it would be crazy. And I think this would just go back to how comfortable are you delivering your message? If you have a very succinct message, or if you've hired a PR agency to go after this, you want to, when you're pitching something bigger like that, you want to also back it up with social proof. Mm-hmm. So if you've actually never been on another TV show or interview, you might say like, you know, here in the States, we have things like Super Doctors, which is kind of an award that doctors get, you know, named Super Doctor 4 years in a row. If you don't already have, what I'm trying to say is like, if you haven't already been on shows, one thing you could do is that, but if you have been on shows and you're going for bigger shows, you would say, you know, I've been featured on CBS here in my city and I've been in so-and-so magazine. So it's something to tell them that you just have experience and social proof. Especially for TV, what they don't want is you to come on and to be like Jan Brady, shell-shocked and, you know, can't catch the football. So that's the perspective that they're evaluating your pitch through. So you want to provide either like video clips or something of you talking kind of spontaneously as opposed to reading a script, just so that they can see you can communicate, add some social proof, like different awards or, you know, I'm sure there's other examples. It's kind of unique to each person's practice, but just put your own. You know, a lot of times actually doctors here will just say, you know, they're on staff at a major university, which has a lot of weight here in the States. So whatever it is that you can find that has credential, you would want to kind of, when you start talking about yourself or, you know, if you're having a publicist do this, they would want to use credentials to really just prove that you're credible.
And it could it be too, Kristen, that perhaps if I haven't been on any television shows, but I've got a YouTube channel and I'm doing a weekly live on my Facebook, that they can get a little bit of a look at my talent there to see how am I on a camera? And it might also be too, I'm just kind of thinking for our listeners out there that the idea of being on television is petrifying to them. Then maybe for you guys, it's radio, or maybe it's, you know, the written word through the local newspapers. And like anything, it takes time to get confident in front of the camera. I know in the early days I was doing a lot of spokesperson work for our chiropractors association, and it took some time to feel comfortable on television. And
yeah, absolutely. And I want to talk too about the point you brought up. If you have a following of any type, if you have a lot of Instagram followers or Facebook followers, that's social proof. And especially now, news stations and media care about that. Because, you know, if you said I have 10,000 followers and most people that they have on have 200, you know, now they're going to be able to reach a bigger audience. So it also now with all the technology we have, it works both ways, which actually is sort of the new evolution of PR, I would say, is to, you know, before it used to be people would see you on TV and then they would call you. But now what happens is they're already on their phone. So you better have a web presence in place. You better have a way to be leveraging that exposure if you are getting those types of TV bookings. And that could be in the form of an opt-in. It could be in the form of, you know, a direct booking. It could be in the form of remarketing or retargeting, having a pixel on there. You want to find a way to take them from the media to their phone to continue the conversation, because if not, it's really a wasted opportunity. I mean, you're just getting out there just to speak. You're getting out there just to, I guess, probably to build your own ego. If you don't have a system in place on the back end, a digital system in place, it's really going to be a waste of your time and energy in terms of, you know, building your brand and building your practice.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard stories of people who've managed to be on shows like Oprah, where really it's made no difference to their business whatsoever because they didn't have a back end. They had their 3 minutes of fame on there. It was fantastic, but it made no difference. So let's talk more about that, because I want to kind of double click on that, because I think that's an important thing. If I'm out there, I get my 1 minute or my article in the newspaper there as well. Let's talk about, so they come back to our website. You mentioned a whole bunch of different ways that we could have to continue the relationship with them. Let's go over those again and talk about those in a little bit more detail.
Yeah. So, I talked in the beginning about my history and my background in booking these types of shows. And what I've really transitioned into in the last few years of my career is really bringing all of that full circle. So being able to leverage those media appearances, because exactly what you said, it's kind of the 15 second of fame phenomenon. You know, you get a big spike in engagement and then it crashes. And those doctors that I was working with who would be on those shows, they got dependent on that type of PR exposure. And it's not something, PR at that level tends to be kind of cyclical. It doesn't always happen, you know, month after month after month. There can be a big hit and then you kind of, you know, some smaller hits in the interim. So I started, you know, my clients were asking me like, okay, what's next? What's next? What's next? And I'm like, you know what? We've had this exposure. Now, how can we harness this and how can we leverage this? Mm. So what I've developed is I call my clients celebrity brands. So they're out there, they're getting PR, they're gaining that celebrity and that authority. And on the back end, what we do is actually a three-phase process where we first build the foundation online. So it includes, if you were to fully build this out, let's say, and fully go all in, it would include a celebrity search marketing campaign on AdWords. It would include a remarketing or retargeting campaign, which essentially means you get a second chance to show someone an ad when they come to your site. Yeah. And then there would be a strong call to action or further education on their site. And so that's when it could, that further education, that further interaction could be something like a PDF. It could be something like a video series to, you know, 5 days to your best health or something like that. What I've seen actually work best for doctors in terms of interaction is a simple little button that says, ask me a question. And they put their name, their email, their phone number, and a little box for a question. Now it's not intimidating. And it's something that's actually worked really, really well for doctors across all specialties, because sometimes I think people are intimidated to talk to doctors or they just kind of want to know, but that opens the door for engagement. It takes them off of seeing you on the show and now onto your list. Now you can call them, you can follow up, you can email, you can send them newsletters, mm-hmm. you can, you know, then you can, then you really now connect the pieces of all, show them Facebook ads, you can invite them to your Facebook group. You know, you can invite them to listen to your podcast, whatever it might be.
Mm. And then what's so neat about that process is that, you know, we've transitioned somebody from someone else's audience, whether it be Dr. Oz's audience, where they control it there too, or into our audience. And particularly if we can get an email address, which is one of the things that we see so many practitioners fail to do that, because once you have somebody's email address, we control the conversation, how often we speak to them, what we share with them. You know, through social media platforms, Facebook, it's hard to get in front of people, even with paid advertising, reach is decreasing. But I really love that idea of just an ask the doctor a question there as well.
I run an agency also, you know, I have a digital agency. I have found that simple ask has, you know, it's increased my engagement. And then what I've also found is people just want to talk to people. Like, you want to talk to a real person. If you're calling a doctor, you want to talk to the doctor. So, you know, you don't underestimate the value of picking up the phone and calling that person for 20 minutes or, you know, just to even to set the stage for that relationship. Maybe they won't come to get adjusted tomorrow, but you know, it's likely that in 3 months, if you've called them and talked to them and now you're emailing them every week, let's say they get in an accident, you know, they're going to come to see you.
Yeah, great. I love it. It's about building long-term relationships and playing the long game. You know, that buying cycle or that confidence cycle in a health practitioner, like anything, when we're making a major decision, and particularly I think our health is one of those major decisions that takes time to build trust and authority and all those kind of things. So let's go over a summary, because I love it. So we started it all to put our content under, you had these three phases, which was GIT. So let's give those a little summary again. So the G was for geography.
Yeah. So it's actually, I call it the three principles that will get you stories again and again. So it's G for geography, I for import, how important is the story, and T for timeliness.
Yeah, great. And then after we've worked out our framework with regard to that, we're going to reach out to five different groups, whether they be kind of television, radio, podcasts, they might be as well. We're going to stalk those people of importance and see if we can build a relationship the old-fashioned way. And if not, then just jump on the phone, find out who might be in control of the health section as well. And then we had that brief time that when we went for the pitch there as well to get straight to the point, bury the lead, which is don't talk about us, but tell them how important it is. Make sure we've done all the work in advance. And then our final stage is to make sure that we had some follow-up so that we didn't get our 15 seconds of fame and then it drop off. So
exactly. And that final stage is really where you're going to be able to monetize your PR efforts, because like I was saying, you know, my clients would experience a spike in engagement and a dip and a spike and a dip. And I want to see how can we keep it continuous and moving upwards so that there, you know, we're eliminating those spikes and dips. You're monetizing it. And it's really in a way that's hands off for the doctor and in a way where, you know, even if let's say you were on Dr. Oz 2 years ago, you're still leveraging and using that appearance. And you can be using it on your sales page as testimonials in your YouTube channel. You're really still leveraging that online so that it's still driving patients for you, because, you know, the media is an amazing third party credibility tool.
I'm continually reminded of, you know, consumer research that shows that those people that raise their hand and say that they're interested in something, that, you know, if you follow those group through, you know, even 9 months down the track, only 50% of them have made a purchase at that time. So if we don't have a systemized way to keep in contact, to keep the conversation going, you're missing more than half the people, or half the people that actually want what you have to offer. Just the timing's not right for them. So having that back end for me is, I just see it as being so incredibly important there too. So any final tips that you would share at all that you want to kind of summarize all this up? And then finally, how do people get in contact with you? How can we kind of learn more about Kristen? How can we kind of keep in your kind of awesomeness?
Yeah, sure. I would just leave you with, you know, we've talked about this, but how can you provide more value?
Yeah.
You know, again, you don't want to lead with talking about yourself. You really want to lead with how can you help people? You know, why is it important? And, you know, what action can they take to then make those changes for themselves? Because at the end of the day, I know most doctors, that's why they became doctors. They didn't get into business to, you know, manage staff or have headaches or, you know, to wonder what they should do next. They got into medicine to help people. And I think at the end of the day, when you're thinking about content, when you're thinking about hooks for PR, the best PR segments are ones that really resonate with the doctors themselves, because it continues to spread their message and to tell their own story in a way that resonates with other people. And then to reach me, you know, I'm on Instagram. I'm Kristen_Hinman. That's HINMAN. And Kristen is KRISTEN. And in fact, if you send me a direct message and say public relations, I have a PDF of how doctors can monetize their PR practices, which essentially summarizes everything we talked about today. Or you can visit my website, which is prmedia.com, but it's actually spelled weird, so I'll give it to you to put in the show notes. It's P-E-A-R-E media. And what I'd love to do for your listeners, if anyone clicks the button in the top corner, I will do a one-on-one discovery call with you for 30 minutes, and we can really dive into specifically how PR can help your business. And, you know, I'll give that to you for free for 30 minutes and come up with a strategy for you and your listeners.
Great, Kristen. I mean, that's super valuable. I'm beaming here. You've have managed to fill in a bunch of the pieces of the puzzle that have been absent from me beforehand. And, you know, I'm looking forward to our audience kind of getting this and putting it, you know, running with it from there too, because it's a simple process. You know, all starts with which is what Tony and I have been talking about on this podcast since day one, which is adding value. It's the difference between value-added marketing and promotional marketing. You know, the audience wants to know what's in it for them. You know, the media platforms, it's the same kind of thing. So, gang, all the links that Kristen has talked about will be in the show notes, so you can jump on over onto her website. Take her up on that, you know, that strategy call there as well.
Yeah, no obligation, free call. I'll hop on and do a 30-minute discovery call with anyone who wants it about how you can specifically leverage PR for your practice.
Great. Well, Kristen, we appreciate that enormously. So on behalf of Tony and myself, Tony, who's absent here today as well, we want to thank you so much for sharing with us today. I've loved our chat as well. And I'm sure we're probably going to need to do a round two somewhere down the track where we can dive more into the nitty gritty. So enjoy your evening. Thanks so much for sharing so generously with us today.
Yeah, thanks. And happy holidays to everyone.
Yeah, you too. Great. Coming through your microphone too. You've got your settings there. Yep, great. Volume be fine. Zoom does a great job of all of that. Beautiful, huh? That was ace. Loved it.
Okay.
Great work.